And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces on KTAL-LP. And we're still at 526-5825. If you have a question relevant to this segment, which is going to talk about music and specifically the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra, we have with us Jorge Martinez, the conductor, and also second flautist, Jesus Candela.
Yes.
And welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
So if somebody out there has never been to the symphony, why should they go for the first time?
All right. So I have so many questions for that. But the first one would be every important city, any city with quality of life has cultural events, among them a symphony orchestra. And this particular season is really exciting because the opening concert is with a famous soprano, Barbara Padilla. She was a runner-up for America's Got Talent, and she's going to be performing crossover classical music with world music, but also some arias from the opera world. So it's a perfect concert for those who have never heard hardcore classical music, but that could be the entryway to get hooked to the beauty, to the masterworks in classical music.
And what are the works that particular occasion?
So we'll begin with an overture by Rossini, which is typically an overture, for those who have never been to a classical music concert, is a piece that showcases the virtuosity and the talent of the orchestra, particularly with this composer, Rossini. And then she will be singing some arias, which is an operatic way to call songs, from La Traviata, an opera by Verdi. And then from there, she will be singing Bésame Mucho, Tu Sé, and so many songs that we all know. And also, maybe it's interesting for people to know that she sang with the pop idol Juan Gabriel for the last 2 years of his life.
Yeah. And Jesus, actually, I want to ask one other. I know this is an offbeat question, but how many times do you guys have to practice a particular piece before you perform it?
Well, I mean, it varies.
I know it must vary.
Yeah, it varies. Sometimes when it's a challenging concert, let's say we're going to play, a Berlioz Fantastic Symphony, Sinfonia Fantastique, or we're going to play a big work, we typically need as an orchestra 4 or 5 rehearsals. And so that's just rehearsing. And then we have our dress rehearsal at the fourth one, and then we present the 2 concerts. Now, prior to those orchestra rehearsals, each musician practices during their own part, time.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have very difficult solos. It can take them 2-3 weeks to actually get them ready for a performance. And so I think having an orchestra also helps local musicians to keep a high level of artistry and performance.
And how often will you, with a visiting singer like you have this time, how often will you get to rehearse with her? Will that be just the dress rehearsal, or how does that
That's a really
work?
Good question. We normally have 2 rehearsals with the soloist. So let's say we start rehearsing on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and then normally soloists get to the symphony to rehearse with us on a Thursday. We run the piece, we see what worked, what didn't work, we try again and tune and timing here, slower here, faster here, and we kind of know the map of what the soloist needs to do. And then on Friday, it's our dress rehearsal, and we just run the pieces. If there are moments that we don't feel comfortable, we try again. And then normally the first concert, you know, there's a lot of excitement. Everybody wants to perform and we put everything out. But sometimes it's like, I think it was a little too fast or a little too slow. And then it gets settled on the second concert.
Okay.
That's typically how it's been for the orchestras around the region here and in many other places in the United States.
Okay, that makes sense.
How does it feel to be the conductor? I mean, you take it for granted. You've been doing it for a while. But to be basically dealing with, several dozen creative intellects playing different instruments all at the same time, it seems as if it would be a lot to keep in your head.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, all the logistics and contracts to musicians and to soloists, that's the the fundraising part. That's really complicated.
Yeah, the business part.
That's like 80%. And it takes a lot of time. But I was talking to my colleague, which is also here in the interview today, about the importance of the conductor. And I think one of the things that I enjoy the most is that I played viola for many, many years. I mean, all my life, basically. Mm-hmm. And I've been principal viola for different orchestras, played in a string quartet for many, many years. I had a touring career. And the viola is an instrument that helps putting together the outer voices, like the violins, the cellos, the flutes, the clarinet. We're in the middle. And so a vision I have of a conductor, coming back to your question, my job or the job of any conductor should be to have command of the scores and then not getting the middle of the musicians playing their artistry, their technique, and become part of the orchestra. My job is to be the unificator of the orchestra, the one who can bring everything together when we go through different tempos. Sometimes it needs to go really fast right away, sometimes slower. Everybody looks up, and then musicians listen to themselves. We talk about colors, dynamics, special moments, moments where we need to put all the passion out. So my job is to become another member of the orchestra.
So question for you, Jesus, playing the flute and dealing with a variety of conductors, without naming names, what are some of the things that people have done particularly right or particularly wrong as conductors?
So Jorge and I have this conversation.
You're prepared.
Yes, I am. No, so there's, I believe, because I'm also a conductor, and so I believe that there's two types of conductors. You know, there's conductors for the power and conductors to empower. And so to me, the conductors that have made the biggest difference is the conductors that come into a rehearsal and empower the orchestra to be the best it can be. You know, that you leave rehearsals inspired to go home and practice your instrument at 11 p.m. after the rehearsal. So that's...
And the ones who don't do that, is that because they have too much ego or they're too weak or what? I mean, we're not naming any names, you know?
That's a hard question. I mean,
what's the fault that keeps them from fully empowering you?
I think it's a personality, you know, and I think Jorge mentioned, right, I think our job as conductors is to not get in the way of the music. And when you're, you know, I do believe that the podium is not a spotlight, you know, for the conductor, but it's exactly a place to make responsible choices to create beautiful music and inspire the musicians. So I think that's the difference between conductors.
How did you get into the flute?
Funny story. I used to be a trombone player, actually.
Okay.
I would listen to classical music, and, you know, woodwinds and flutes have, you know, beautiful, beautiful solos. And so that kind of attracted me to the instrument. And so when I started college, I made the switch from trombone to flute, and I've been playing flute ever since. No regrets.
Well, it's a great instrument.
It is a great instrument.
And a complete opposite of the trombone, that big brassy bass sound versus the light, airy flute sound.
Very, very different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and well, I guess coming back a little bit to your question, why to go to a symphony orchestra? There is a piece, and then I can give you hundreds of examples of masterworks through history, but there is this concerto for guitar by Joaquin Rodrigo, Spanish composer. He wrote the second movement under very, very difficult, heavy duty circumstances of life. His wife had passed. He was blind, and then his son passed when he was writing the concerto. When you hear the first movement of that piece, it's festive. It's about the fountains of Aranjuez, this city in Spain. But then that tragedy happened, and you know how we go through many different stages in life, and sometimes we're very religious, sometimes we're not, and we go to, you know, whatever helps us feel better internally. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first played that piece, I was, I don't know, like 22 years old, and I was playing in an orchestra, in Mexico, and I noticed that we easily had in that orchestra 20 different nationalities, each of them with, you know, different perspectives about life, religion, education, different techniques for our instruments. But when we got to the moment, the piece develops and develops until it gets to the tutti, we say, or the climax. And it's where the composer put all the pain of what it meant for him to go through this tragedy. And I remember playing that, and I was just overwhelmed with the sound, and I would turn slightly around to see the musicians, and everybody was in a real communion.
Hmm.
As an audience, when you go to classical music, my friends ask me, what should I do to understand it? It's kind of, I don't get it. Close your eyes. It's like reading a book for the first time by whatever author. The language or the writing might not click right away, but when you're on the second book or fifth or seventh, you know his style and you know what is it he wants to say as an author. It's the same with classical music. If you go to one concert, you say, oh, that piece was really cool. And then you go to the second concert, you really become an expert in classical music. You really become an expert in knowing what soloist touches you the most. A second story, I was performing with the quartet. I don't remember where. Somewhere in California, I do remember that. And I was performing, and I'm like, oh, this sucks. It sounds so bad. It's so out of tune, and so on and so forth. And I had a nice face, I guess, while performing. Then the concert was over. We went to a reception with the board. And before getting there, after the concert, an older woman approached me and said, thank you so much for this concert, with almost tears in her eyes. She was probably a 70-something. Mm. I'm like, oh, I'm glad you liked it. She said, you know, my husband passed 4 years ago, and every day is a battle for me. When I heard that piece by Beethoven, a string quartet by Beethoven, I felt so much peace.
Mm.
And I somehow connected again to the essence of what we had as a couple. Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Wow. And I'm like, okay. And then I heard the recording, and it didn't sound that bad. Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is we go through life thinking about capitalism, inevitably.
Yeah.
And the younger we are, the more we think about those
Think about it when you get old, too.
Superficial things. I guess so. But there's something about, oh, I'm 20. I want to buy a car. Oh, now I'm 30. I want to buy this house.
That's right.
Oh, and I want to this trip, and I want my kids to dress in a certain way, and I want this big car. But when you get to a certain point of maturity, that window called art that seemed like nothing, that was very small and very far away, the closer you get to it, the closer you get to yourself, whether it is a painting, whether it is a book or a concert. I do have to say, for me as a musician, there's nothing like live music with a symphony and wonderful soloist. So please support your local musicians. We have musicians from El Paso, from Juarez, from Las Cruces, from Albuquerque and Santa Fe, putting amazing music for our community.
And a soloist from Japan.
As we'll have a soloist from Mari Lee from Japan.
We need to say a few practical things for people, like how to do it. Certainly, and I got to say, my wife and I have had season tickets.
Oh, thank you so much.
Since we moved back. Well, thank you is more appropriate. And also went to smaller groups you've been associated with, I think. Mm-hmm. But 647, if you want to call to inquire about tickets, one way is 575-646-3709. There's also a website. Maybe one of you guys knows it offhand.
Yeah, you can just Google Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. It'll take you directly to the website, and you can purchase your tickets there.
I'd like to ask you both, when you're playing classical music that is hundreds of years old, has been done thousands or tens of thousands of times, how do you personalize that? How do you do it in a way that makes it yours?
So one of the beautiful things about music is that, you know, I think music is humanity, right?
Yeah.
Music is emotion. And the beauty of it is that you make it your own with your personality. And so, you know, your personality, you know, reflects on the music. And I think that's like you said, you know, when you bring musicians from all backgrounds of life, you know, I think that's what makes music so special, is that, you know, we come together to, you know, play something, like, you know, Tchaikovsky Symphony Number 5 and just make it, you know, touching for the audiences. And I kind of look back, you know, if you watch a movie, aside from the acting, I think what makes a movie is the soundtrack. You know, when there's a sad scene, you know, the acting is going to make you cry, but the music, without thinking about it, is what drives, you know, that emotion. And so I do think that people should experience live music, you know, at least in this setting once in their life, because it's very different than listening to a movie. And every performance is different, right? And so it's a different emotion. It's a different feeling. And I hope that, you know, they can join us.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, sometimes also other friends, you know, I don't like to dress up. I'm normally in jeans and a shirt. Should I dress up for a classical music concert? It doesn't really matter. Yeah. Go however you want. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy the music. This is, yeah, it is a social event. But
keep your cell phone in your pocket.
Yeah. Yes. No, yeah, please, yes. Yeah. Nobody's judging. Go and enjoy, you know, the beauty of composers putting their masterworks out there.
So how do you choose? You've chosen the whole program, you and maybe with somebody else, mm-hmm. have chosen the whole program for a number of performances. Mm-hmm. Tell us, first of all, how do you select, and then why don't you briefly tell us what's in store this season?
Sure. Yeah, so normally, as a conductor, you always want to conduct certain pieces, and they have your heart. And you know, you want to experience what it is to conduct them. And then the budget is a very important part of it, because I wish we could play big symphonies, but they require a full orchestra, so it depends mm-hmm. on what's available. And then also, you normally want to perform things that have not been played before. But as a conductor, I think it's really important to explore the repertoire, what is being written right now mm-hmm. that it's worth for people to listen. And when you kind of have an idea, you consult with friends you trust, like I did with Jesus and other members of the orchestra, the concertmaster, Bridget McCarthy and Joy Salkin. I said, what do you guys think of...
She's been in that seat for years.
Yes, huh? yes. So you consult with people you trust. What do you think of this programming? You know what? Why don't you think of this other one or this other one? And also, you know, it has to do with the capabilities of the orchestra. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for some works, it might take 5 rehearsals. And if we don't have the budget for that, we need to stick for something we could mm-hmm. sound great in 3 rehearsals or 4, like it was mm-hmm. the case for Scheherazade in the closing concert. So it's a combination of several factors. But I think we have a really exciting season coming up. As we were saying, September, we celebrate here in the United States the Hispanic heritage. Mm-hmm. So that's why Barbara Padilla is doing mm-hmm. half kind of opera-oriented, but the other half is crossover. Wow. Some songs, as I was mentioning to you, like Bésame Mucho.
Yeah,
and
more popular songs.
Very popular songs mm-hmm. that I know people will... Ya lo sé que tú te vas by Juan Gabriel. Yeah. And I know people will enjoy that. And then at the end, we'll have a surprise for a very festive... Anchor. So this is September 12th and 13th. In November 13th and 14th, we have this violinist coming from New York, Marie-Lee, which will be performing the Brooke Violin Concerto, which is an amazing concerto. If you ever wanted to hear a pro in the violin, this is the time for you to come to Las Cruces Symphony. Then in February, we have a chamber orchestra concert, and we're bringing another violinist, incredible. He's being conducted under Dudamel, which is one of the leading conductors in the world. Sir Colin Davis, same. He'll be playing. We presented in the last season Vivaldi 4 seasons, mm-hmm. Piazzolla 4 seasons, and there's one more by Richter. It's called Through the Lens of Time. So he kind of, imagine we all have cell phones that you put a filter to the photo. That's what he did with the Vivaldi Four Seasons. And I'm so proud to say we have presented the three seasons that exist in the music literature here in Las Cruces. And this guy is phenomenal. And then the March concert, March 14th and 15th, will play one of the beloved concertos for piano, which is the Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto No. 2 by Yoshiko Arahata. She's on faculty at NMSU. We're really proud to have her. She's incredible, a beautiful colleague too. And on that concert, we'll be performing Tchaikovsky Symphony No. 5, which is so moving and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we open with another overture that is incredibly fast, and you'll be just blown away of how well the orchestra plays. It's called Ruslan and Ludmila. And obviously, to end the season in April 25th and 26th, we'll do a big collaboration with the choruses from NMSU and the Las Cruces Symphony.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think one of the unique things about this season is that, you know, there's something for everybody. So if you've never been, you know, if you want to come listen to Barbara Padilla, or you want to come listen to a pianist or a violinist or even the NMSU choir, you know, I think there's something for everybody this season.
Absolutely.
So whichever concert, you know, you would like to do.
It really is. I mean, I've come to like the music. I didn't as a kid, because my parents did. So I thought it must be boring. But love it. But also like being there, and also, you know, there's something in an orchestra that's kind of fascinating to watch. All these different, I mean, frankly, I'll talk to you about this offline sometime, but when Mark was here, Medoff, we talked about maybe doing a film that was took one piece and talked to it. The film would intercut people playing their violin or conducting or whatever with them at home, you know, practicing and, you know, saying something about how they got into the art. But all these minds together, minds and hearts, whatever, talents, skills, watching them together. But also, you were saying earlier, a city of any size ought to have a symphony.
Absolutely.
And not, you know, obviously I'm prejudiced because I like it myself, but I also would think it's a good thing for Las Cruces to have. I mean, those people like development. Hey, you can tell your employees they can go to the symphony.
Yeah. We are a small city, but I think we are very lucky in many ways. I think the community is great. The sense of really being together is really great. And I think having an orchestra, having jazz, having bands, having a string quartet, chamber orchestras, just means so much for our community. So I think that if you haven't had the opportunity to go to a symphony, again, don't worry about the dress code. if we go to eat to one of, you know, our favorite restaurants, the price of a ticket is going to be half of it, you know. So if it was up to me, they would be free. Or they would be very cheap, or like they do in places like in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. You get there, they say suggested donation X amount. Yeah, everybody gives that amount. We can't do that because otherwise the orchestra wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
I hate to say that ticket sales are about 30% of what we need to survive as an orchestra.
Yeah.
This orchestra has been around for 65 years.
Wow.
It's a legacy. And I think we should unite. This is a transition moment for the symphony. Everybody thought the orchestra was going to fold.
Because of the departure of Lonnie Klein?
Yeah, I think so. I think he retired during the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Good colleague, good friend. But then, the administration and fundraising, that's not easy. Everybody has been helping.
Well, the pandemic was hard on everybody.
Everybody has been helping pro bono, but they have full-time jobs also. So things really haven't been working out in terms of fundraising. And I tell our donors that generally have given us so much. They ask me, so how are you so good for fundraising? I'm like, you know what? When I moved to Las Cruces, every time after we finished a concert and we went to a reception to whatever restaurant, I would go table by table to say thank you for coming to the symphony. I was the principal viola. But it meant so much to me genuinely to go thank people who came to our concert. After 15 years of that, I became personal friends, or we became personal friends with many of these people. And they, hey, why don't you come over to my birthday? Why don't we celebrate, I don't know, Halloween or, you know, 4th of July, whatever. And they are people who have always supported the symphony. Little did I know that 17 years later, I was going to be, I would have the privilege and the responsibility to be at the podium. And I've been reaching out to all of these friends who know that genuinely I always care for the symphony. So they asked me to help out starting in January. And thanks to the fundraising, all the team, Monique Foster, Mark, who has been doing this pro bono, Francisco Arias, Jesus Candela, it's a very strong team. Now we have a full-time executive director, and we hope things will get better. It's going great, so I'm really excited for that. It couldn't have happened without the help of this team, but I think I don't know what other word to use. The coming back of Las Cruces Symphony happened or is happening very naturally, but it doesn't mean we are out of the woods. Please help us. Please come to the symphony. We play for the community. We play for each of you. So come and listen to your orchestra.
We have just 2 minutes left. Anything further you want to say, Jesus?
Like I mentioned, you know, like Jorge said, you know, this is for the community. And I think the very special things about the season two is the collaboration with the NMSU choir, you know, which, you know, really talks about the commitment of the symphony, you know, to the community and kind of bridging those things together. So, like I said, you know, if you don't know what to pick, I think there's something for everybody. So we hope to see you, you know, this season.
And people can get they can get season tickets, or they can get tickets for just one or two.
Exactly. Correct. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And again, the phone number to call over there is 646-3709, or just Google Las Cruces Symphony, and it'll come right up on the website, and you can learn more, or buy tickets, or ask questions, or whatever you need to do. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Look forward to, you know, hearing you this season. And do come back, you know, at least a year from now, but maybe in between sometime.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it sounds like you got a great show coming up.
You know, it will be really amazing to visit here with the soloist.
Yes.
If it works out, happy to bring them for them to say their stories.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Yes. Yeah, that's actually... We'll talk about it later, but let's, you know, I read about one of the soloists and got really curious. So maybe we'll get to talk with them.